So key strategic initiatives in global procurement, and we are now looking at the MNC perspective, that is the multinational company perspective. So understanding and identification of need for global procurement. You need to understand, the global perspective, because it could so happen that whatever you're going to procure is not going to be required in one country, because when you say multinational companies, they are spread over multiple locations. The company that I work for is present in 29 countries, and they have got manufacturing in something like 14, 15 countries. So many of the material that we procure globally may be required at multiple locations. So understanding and identification of need for global procurement. So do you really need global procurement? Development, the management expertise and talent for effective administration of procurement process. And normally all multinationals have it. And they have certain advantages that I will come to when we go a little forward. Defining the procurement strategy for the group and the different business units. So also multinationals generally do not have a single product line or so. They have multiple business units, or they have multiple groups. So they are dealing in different kind of products which cater to different industries. So they have a clearly defined strategy for the different businesses, etc. And the strategies can differ for the business unit. So it need not be that all the businesses will have a common strategy. The strategy could be different for different business units. Evaluation of opportunities for sourcing across the globe. So they are better placed because they are geographically spread. So they will also look at the opportunity of sourcing across the globe. There are certain materials which are even in multinationals bought locally. Only where you have a strategic advantage, you will actually go for global procurement. So it's not that if you're a MNC, you are going to be only bringing in material through global procurement. Even it could be like in case of India, we also have a sourcing center India, which actually does the sourcing for some of our affiliates. So it is the reverse kind of a opportunity that is presented. Bringing in standardization in the global procurement process. Now, standardization is a common thing with the multinational companies, because you may be making the same product across various countries, but generally the philosophy is that the quality standards, specifications across the different countries will be exactly the same. That means they'll be identical. The product can vary slightly depending upon the country. So like if you say in terms of car, automobiles, then it could be a left-hand drive or a right-hand drive, or it could be the pollution standards, that if you want to sell it in Europe, it has to comply with the European standards. If you are selling it in India, then it has to be Bharat standard. Okay. But other than this, the standardization is a common feature. So whether it is chemicals, whether it is raw materials, you will find that the specifications are the same. And normally the products can be swapped. That means, if you have an issue in one country in the manufacturing, you can actually easily make the product in another country, and you can supply the same with the same exacting standards. Prioritization of opportunities and identifying the focus area. So you have a better visibility of your spend, global spend. So you know which are the high priority areas where you need to focus and where you can get strategic advantage by going in for a global sourcing. Develop global, regional and local country sourcing team. So like I said, the strategy is very simple. You have a local sourcing team which actually sources the material locally. You may have regional teams, or it could be regional and global teams combined. So they will actually look at the procurement either within the region, or they will look at it globally for the organization. Communication and development of implementation roadmap of global sourcing strategies. So they have a very, very clear strategy defined. They develop, the strategies, and the same is communicated to all the managers across the globe. Because you may find that the global sourcing managers are located across the world for different categories. But they all have to follow the same strategies which have been developed by the company, which covers, the specifications, the code of conduct, and certain policies, etc. Establishment of business processes, technology support, and performance measure. With MNC, generally, they have a backbone of an ERP system or so, which is globally connected. As in my company also, we have an ERP system which is not restricted to India, but it is connected globally. So you have a very strong technology support. Your communication is also very easy. The business processes are common across the world, you know. So this is a requisite when you want to go for a global sourcing with a MNC perspective. Setting up a performance evaluation mechanism for the global sourcing function. So also you need to periodically evaluate how your global sourcing function is operating. It's a very dynamic, function. There are certain materials which are very volatile in nature. So whether you are really getting the advantage, and you know, with the global sourcing team and the category management, people who are very knowledgeable, close to the market, they have their ears to the ground, and they will know when the markets are going to go up or when the markets are going to fall. They are tracking the development in the market. So they should be able to make decisions which will save the company millions of dollars. And this has to be monitored, has to be evaluated. Coming to the key risks associated with global procurement. So first is the transportation and the logistics challenges. We have all talked about it, that because of the distance, and the lead times, this is one of the challenge. Taxation structures. Every country has a different taxation structure. And in taxation also, you have two types of taxes. Taxes which you get a set off or you get a credit, as in case of GST, and taxes where you don't get a set off. So as in case of import duty or custom duty, you have to pay the duty and you don't get them back. So they actually become a cost. They add to your cost. So every country has this kind of taxation structures, which is important to understand. Warehousing and storage related cost. Now, if you are bringing the material and you're keeping it, at a bonded warehouse, then that's also going to cost you more. Why would you keep it in a bonded warehouse? Suppose you are having, manufacturing setup in India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and you are bringing material because your lead times are high, you want to bring the material and store it in a bonded warehouse, so that in case the material is required to be supplied to Bangladesh or Sri Lanka, you can do so without having to pay duty, bring the material inside, and then re-export, by which process you are losing the custom duty. It's not that you cannot get the refund of the custom duty. It's a long process and it's a very tedious process, and also you don't get the full duty back. So if you have to put up a bonded warehouse like this, then that's going to add to your cost. Regulatory compliance and meeting required standards. So even if you bring the material, or let's take the reverse example, that we are taking the material from India and we're taking it to Europe, then you will have to meet the REACH compliance, because any chemicals, any material going into Europe, they will have to comply with the REACH standards. They have to be registered with the REACH authorities there. So you need to address these additional compliances when you are going for a global procurement. And you have to meet the compliances in both the country, the seller country and the buyer country. cost of quality, rework and export. So in case there is non-conforming material, then we call it cost of poor quality. So that will be very, very visible. If you find the material is rejected and it cannot be reprocessed in the country where it has been sent, you will have to bring it back to the seller, and which may actually cost a lot of money. Even rework, re-export, so rework is when you do it actually at the premises, and re-export is what we just talked about, bringing the material back is going to mean additional cost. Incremental inventory levels and working capital requirements. So naturally, when you have higher inventory, your working capital required will be higher. So one has to evaluate whether the advantages of global procurement are good enough to offset some of the risk and the disadvantages, like in terms of, you know, higher capital requirement or higher compliance cost that you may be incurring. Vendor performance management, monitoring and ensuring compliance. So, because the vendor is sitting far away, thousands of miles away, monitoring his performance, ensuring the compliance sometimes becomes a challenge. It can be overcome, like we said, with the local representatives or the outsourcing agent, etc. But nevertheless, you somewhere remain liable for the compliance of your supplier as well. Compliance with ever-evolving environmental standards. Environmental standards are evolving. They are becoming more stringent day by day. And one has to constantly, like for example, in India, we went from the Bharat standard 4 to 5 and 5 to 6. And, from a particular date, you cannot sell a vehicle which is not compliant with Bharat standard 6. What it means is that if you have stocks, inventories of, automobiles which do not comply with this particular standard, then you are running additional risk. This is just an example, but there could be similar things, you know, as far as other products are concerned. Investment in organization structure, procurement office. So naturally, when you go for a global procurement, you will have to either set up a local procurement office or a local representative, or you will have to have a outsourcing agent in the country from where the sourcing is going to happen. So this is all going to mean larger organization structure, also the salary structure, etc. If you have a local procurement office, the property rates, etc., may be much higher. So if you are talking of Europe, or even you talk of other countries, you know, like China, etc., they are far more expensive as compared to India. So it means additional cost to the organization. So what are the difference between the local and the global procurement? So in purchasing area, acquisition of resources is restricted to one country. So we are only looking at, let's say, India. So we don't have to really bother about the regulations and everything about other countries. So purchasing in global sourcing, purchasing activities extend to sourcing from multiple countries, because you do not restrict yourself to only one country. You may actually source from multiple countries. Supplier risk entails limited risk for the purchasing organization, because you're within the same country, your laws, your regulations, even if you get into a litigation or so, less expensive and less chances that you really get into that kind of a situation. Large scale and magnitude of purchasing transaction exposes the organization to higher level of risk. So naturally, the risks are higher, especially if you're going to certain countries which are already considered to be high risk. Regulations subject to local country regulations, which we already discussed, subject to international extraterritorial regulations. So even if you have to get into arbitration or so, then you are, you know, talking of regulations which are, you know, concerning the country which you have agreed upon for any arbitration. Supplier identification and purchasing, so requires limited amount of standardization, whereas global sourcing you require high level of supplier selection and qualification criteria. This can sometimes be easier also if you're buying it from a supplier or a country which is highly evolved, then you may find it easier to actually qualify these suppliers. Quality of products and services aligned to local standards. Quality of products and services is comparable to the international standards. So, as I said, in case of a company like ours, which go with the global standards, for us, this will be easier. Sometimes it's easy, globally source the material, but locally, you may have to develop a supplier who can really meet your standards because you are working with global standards. Level of purchasing management. Purchasing management perceived to be an operational activity. It's a routine kind of activity. In global, purchasing organization formulates global sourcing as a business strategy. And we saw, because it's different, it's more complex, requires a larger organization. So it's a little more complex. So now we come to the introduction to supply chain 4. And let's see what we mean by supply chain 4. So what is the vision of the supply chain of the future? It has to be faster. So new approaches of product distribution reduce the delivery time of high runners to few hours. So we are already talking about, you know, drones making deliveries. People like Amazon are already working on this. So with that, we mean faster. So that means they don't encounter the usual traffic and the deliveries can be made within a couple of hours. More flexible. So ad hoc and real-time planning allows a flexible reaction to changing demand or supply situation. So the supply chain of the future are likely to be more flexible. We've already seen this demonstrated by companies like Dell, where you must have seen the ad where a computer is being assembled and the customer is hesitating on one of the options and the assembly line waits for him to take a decision. The moment he takes a decision, the assembly proceeds. So it will be real time. So your lead times will be much smaller. Your systems will be much more flexible, more granular. The demand of customers for more and more individualized product is continuously increasing. So what happens with a flexible system? You have a more individualized product. So when you, we discussed this in some of the previous chapters, that in automobiles, especially the high-end automobiles, the trend is you don't buy from a standard selection of, 3-4 models with select, colors, etc. What it means is you can practically choose everything, the color of the car, the model, the features, the kind of seats you want, the color of the seats that you want, the kind of a steering you want, the kind of a transmission that you want. Everything can be customized and a car will be assembled exactly to your requirement specifically for you. There may not be another automobile, another car which is made to the same exact specifications. So how is that possible? And that is where you are actually talking of granular systems, supply chain system. That means all your requirement are communicated, the car is assembled, and then it's delivered to you in the shortest possible time. Dell computers is the same case, where you can choose every component and you will get a computer which you have actually asked for. More accurate, the next generation of performance management systems provides real-time end-to-end transparency throughout the supply chain. We have already seen that today with the e-commerce, you are able to track your orders exactly at any point of time where your order is. If it is coming from Delhi, you know that it has gone from, let's say, one collection point to another point, or whether it's in transit. And then with the current system of GPS, etc., you also know sometimes where exactly on the road your material is at any given point of time. So you have a more precise information and real-time information on the supply chain. So more efficiency in the supply chain is boosted by the automation of both physical tasks and the planning. And we have seen this, that this is made possible through systems. So automation is, you know, in an e-commerce, when they are consolidating, you know, the material into a single pack, then the system will track every package which is packed inside by that single unit into which it has been consolidated. And likewise, at the destination, when the last mile delivery takes place, it is able to track when the deconsolidation actually happens. So you require a very high level of automation and systems which are required. So increasing operational efficiency, leveraging supply chain 4. Start with planning. The future supply chain planning will largely benefit from big data and advanced analytics, as well as from the automation of knowledge work. Already you know that big data is a big thing. Big data is where you are not just crunching organized data, structured data, but you are also able to analyze unstructured data, and you are able to get intelligence from this data which can be used strategically. Physical flow. Logistics will take a huge step change through better connectivity, advanced analytics, additive manufacturing, and advanced automation. So some of these things are possible, like if you are talking of a drone delivery, it's a advanced automation where the drone is programmed, and it will go and deliver the material at the location where it is to be delivered. Additive manufacturing is mainly you're talking of technologies like 3D printing, where you don't need to physically move a product. You can actually create a product or manufacture a product within your premises with just the electronic model of that material or that component. Performance management. Performance management is indeed changing tremendously. So whereas in the past the generation of KPI dashboard was a major task and KPI were only available at aggregated level, now granular data is available in real time from internal and external sources. So I remember that in good old days, we used to make a monthly report. Then gradually we came to systems where we started the daily reporting. Today in my organization, we have the dashboards. You open the dashboard at any given point of time. It has borrowed the system, data from ERP system. And at any given point of time, you can see what is the kind of overdue you have, what is the kind of a sale you have, what is your profitability at that point of time, and various other KPIs. So you don't have to really make this KPI. And the best part of it is you can drill down. So if you, have a sale of X value, you can even drill down and see what was your sale which happened today, what happened yesterday, what was day before yesterday. You can also drill down by the customer, which are the customers to whom the major sales have been made, or in terms of overdue, which are the major overdue that you have at the moment, and what are the payments which are going to fall due within, let's say, tomorrow or day after or so. So you have very advanced systems which are backed by ERP, backed by very advanced dashboard tools that you have like Power BI, etc., which are available and which are the driving force behind the supply chain 4. Order management. So two examples of how order management is improved are no-touch order processing and real-time replanning, which lead to lower cost through automation of efforts, higher reliability due to granular feedback, and superior customer experience through immediate and reliable responses. So what we saw in case of Dell in terms of the assembly of a car to your exacting requirement tells you that you can actually operate on a make-to-order kind of a requirement. So when you make-to-order, you do not have anything which is made to stock. That means you don't carry any inventory. So, you know, using supply chain 4 also has its advantage. You are investing in, you know, automation and the artificial intelligence. You are doing a lot of big data analysis, etc. The benefit is in terms of you operating with very low working capital, high level of customer satisfaction, more about customer experience, because, you know, it's about delighting the customer, you know, that you get a product exactly as per your requirement and you get it in a very, very short time. Collaboration, the supply chain cloud forms the next level of collaboration in the supply chain. We already talked about this, that the supply chain cloud, where you are connecting the customer and the supplier, so that whenever the customer puts in a requirement, the requirement is analyzed and even the orders on the supplier are visible to him immediately, so that he also makes the supplies just in time, doesn't have to carry inventories, and the benefit are actually across the value chain. So, supply chain strategy, following the need for further individualization and customization of the supply chain, supply chain setup adopts many more segments. So, you know, with the need for highly evolved, flexible, agile supply chain, you need to actually cover more and more segments, you know, with those features that we discussed as part of the supply chain 4. Thank you.